Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you've had a wonderful day today. This is Pastor Tony with the Lighthouse Team Ministry. Those of you that have been following us, you know that you are always in our prayers, because we want the best for you. And we know that that is the Word of God. That's why we are having these study sessions twice a day, every day. Because we are told in God's Word to study His Word daily. Well, this is one way we can do it, and we're not doing it by ourselves. We are sharing it with others, as well as receiving it from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to speak through us, to work through us in touching others, Father, and doing your work in supplying their needs, whatever their needs may be. Keep us always on the path of righteousness, always speaking the truth of your word. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. Not to lift us up before mankind to make anything of us, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring those in thought out of darkness and into the light, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us now through this day. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2. And we'll see what the Lord has for us here. We know that Paul is starting chapter 2 out talking to the aged men. And he's not meaning the elders of the church that holds office. He's talking about those that are kind of advanced years. Now, here in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? What doctrine are we supposed to be teaching? The Baptist doctrine, the Methodist doctrine, the Lutheran doctrine, the Presbyterian doctrine? No, we are to be preaching the doctrine of the Word of God. That's the one we're told to preach. And he said, if we come preaching any other doctrine, and we had this in our study a few days back, that we are cursed. There is only one doctrine, one church. That's his church. You can put any name out in front of the church in order people to know where you are. But inside, they all should be teaching the same thing. No difference. Well, we have all kinds of differences out here today, don't we? That ought not to be. Now here in verse 2, he says, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. 5, to be discreet, chaste, keeping at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right, now, let's really take a look at what we just read. We know, as we discussed earlier, that the aged men are elderly men and not those that hold office in the church. But the theme that the aged man he's talking to, which covers most of all of us, also as well as the church of that day and time. And he says that they are to be sober, which means they're to be sensible. They're to be grave. That word grave means to be dignified. To walk dignified. And he goes on there with temperate. Means that they are thoughtful. And that they are sound in faith. That means that we're strong in faith. And he goes on using in charity. We know that charity in the scripture means love. Godly love is something we are to have. And we are to walk in patience, which means that we walk in perseverance. You know, we as being aged men were to be examples of godliness to the younger men. We're not just to be sitting back talking about it. We are to be, and our lives are to be, examples that they can follow and live by and make heaven their home. And there's only one way that we can do that, and that is that we have to be born again and be rightfully children of Almighty God. Now, he goes on to talking about the aged women, the older women. They are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, and he also aims for them to be teachers. Teachers of what? Of good things. But who are they to teach? We know they're not to teach men. So who are they to teach? By teaching the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That is what the older women are called to do. The older women are to teach the younger by their example also. Just as he's telling us men to be example, he is telling the older women the same thing, is to be examples. And they are to be submissive to their own husbands. Now this submissive, that don't mean, men, that we make them our slaves. We're told how to treat our wives. And when we have everything in the right place and the right prospect, the Word tells us that the Father is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of all men, and men are the head of the ladies. Now, men, we make the Lord God first in our lives, Him and His kingdom, and then the one that comes next is the wife. And then your children, your family, and then your work. That is the order of a godly family. She's not your slave. But she is to come to you for a lot of her answers, and as also her helper, spiritual things. But men, if you are not the child of God, you can't help her become one. You're not doing your work, you see. You've let down on yours. Think about these things, because you're finding these things in the Word of Almighty God. Now, beginning here at verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine. Here's doctrine again. Showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. In other words, you're living a life that is not corrupt. You're living a life in uncorruptness, in gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Live your life to where they cannot say anything evil of you, and it be true. And then they will stand ashamed of what they have done. You see, that living godly will pay off for you. And it will bring blessings from God to you. Now, 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Those others that work for someone else, we make our living that way. But we are to be obedient unto, as the Word calls him, our master, which is the one that's overseeing us. And those who will do that servant that will actually walk that way, he will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, you know, as I said before, that this verse, this passage, 9 and 10, is not there condoning slavery, but it is showing you and I how godliness can overcome bad things, even from those that we work for. Think about that. All of us that we that we will work and do our jobs well. That is also a testimony to the grace of God, because they are seeing through us how God and the power of the gospel leads us to give our very best in whatever we are doing. And in that way, those that are over us will usually always return that back to us in the way we are treated on the job or at work. All right, now, 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Well, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're not to wait for that, for the next one, no. Or to live it here. Because if we don't live it here, then we're not going to make the other one. Now, 13. Look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, you know, let's take a look at some of these verses, a breakdown. The salvation that he's talking about that appeared to all men, that is based on God's grace that has provided salvation for all mankind through the unlimited atonement of Christ. Then he uses that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, which refers to his second coming and the use of the definite article that with God and connecting and indicates that the first and second Savior are one and the same person. Our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is thus just one and the same person, clearly proving the deity of Christ. He's not talking about two different people coming. He's only talking about the one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, You know, before that great and noble day of his return to the earth, he's coming part way. For those that are on the earth that are ready and waiting for him to be taken in what we call the rapture, and the gospel calls it a catching away. They'll go to meet him in the air. He's not coming all the way back to touch this earth. We'll meet him in the air and then go to be with him until he does come back the second time to set up his millennial kingdom that will be set up here on this earth 1,000 years. And he is King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise that holy name. Are you standing with him? Now 15, and this is the last verse of chapter 2. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. But we know we got them out there that's not going to like you and I. The word tells us that. But it has to be because we are his. We belong to Jesus. We belong to God. And that's the reason that they despise us. Don't let it be because of things that we are trying to accomplish out here in this world, other than sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let it not be of any evil thing of this world. We've got chapter 3 here. I'm going to go ahead with it because this takes us out to Titus. This finishes up this book of Titus, this letter. Verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Speak evil of no man means that we don't blaspheme no one. We don't curse no one. And be no brawler. We abstain from fighting and worldly arguments and things that way. And he says unto all men, indicates the universal extent of the Christian mission. Salvation is not accomplished by works of righteousness, but by the washing of regeneration. And that is because the cleansing that results from being born again. As we go on here, 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And most all of us have lived parts of that in our lifetime before we came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. for. But after that, the kindness of love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, here in 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But see, washing of regeneration, that's not referring to baptism. But it is referring to the spiritual renewing that is produced when you and I receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And then we are justified by his grace and will be made heirs because we have the hope of eternal life. You see, now that man, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. We're not to get into all of that and those foolish questions and arguments and things because they're unprofitable. Now, 10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second abomination reject. Now, what is a heretic? A heretic was originally one who caused divisions or factions among the church people. But later the word emphasized such a person's peculiar or unorthodox beliefs. We cannot do the things they do, but we are to share God's word with them as we can. But we're not to do it by arguments and things that way. Now, 11. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. That's what happens to that heretic. That's why we are to share God's word, to see if he can be led out of that darkness and brought to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot fall in with anything that he is really doing. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, our Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in the Acropolis, for I have determined there to win. Paul is figuring on wintering there at the Acropolis. Bring Zenith, the attorney, their lawyer. And Apollos, on their journey, diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. He's letting them know to bring them, so they'll not be in mourning. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me, salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. We have come to the end of the book of Titus. God willing, our next one will be Philemon. So we're getting ready to stop here. Go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the time and the place that we can come together to share your word, Father, with each other and for those that we can reach through the internet system today, Father. And we know that we are reaching the shows. And Father, help us to always be ready and always listen for the Lord our God to call upon us to go about his work according to his will and his way, doing the things he wants us to do. The Father, we know that without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing and can do nothing. But with the Lord Jesus, Father, we know we can do all things. And we know that you give us the Holy Spirit to see the work is done, that has brought us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the power, and the gift that we need in order to do the work you call upon us to do. And Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for Israel and Jerusalem. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land in which we live, Father, has grown so evil. Brought things upon its own people that should never even been spoken about, let alone brought into law to force mankind to accept. Father, help us to remove from all the souls that has done this horrible thing, and to replace them with ones, Father, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves the church, and that loves your people, and will work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, fathers, we prepare to separate for this evening. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Help us as we rest through the evening and night, Father. Let us wake refreshed from morning. Be ready to be back into your word. at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Father. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep our hearts and our minds open to be receptive unto this, your word, and unto you as you speak to us, however that may be. Father, praise you. Thank you, Father, for all you've given us, all you have done for us. Praise you. Praise you, praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. God willing, we can be back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Good night, all.